Welcome to Clinical IQ Clinical Essentials. I'm Emma, and with me is Dr. Anzal Kurbayin, pharmaceutical physician. Today we're covering drug interactions, the ones that matter most in clinical practice. There are thousands of possible interactions, but a relatively small number cause the majority of serious harm. Dr. Kurbayin, how do clinicians think about this without getting overwhelmed?
The key insight is that most serious drug interactions are predictable once you understand the underlying mechanisms. There are two main types: pharmacokinetic interactions, which affect how a drug moves through the body, absorption, metabolism, excretion, and pharmacodynamic interactions, where two drugs have additive or opposing effects on the same physiological system. If you understand the class effects of the drugs you're prescribing, you can anticipate most of the dangerous combinations before reaching for an interaction checker.
Let's start with pharmacokinetic interactions. The CYP450 enzyme system comes up a lot.
CYP450, cytochrome P450, is a family of enzymes in the liver that metabolize the majority of medicines. The clinical significance is this: if you inhibit a CYP enzyme, any drug that relies on that enzyme for metabolism will accumulate, potentially to toxic levels. If you induce a CYP enzyme, drugs metabolized by it will be cleared faster, potentially losing efficacy.
Can you give a concrete example?
Warfarin is the classic. Warfarin is metabolized by CYP2C9. Fluconazole, a very common antifungal, is a potent CYP2C9 inhibitor. Give a patient on warfarin a 5-day course of fluconazole for a vaginal candida infection, and their INR can double or triple within days with serious bleeding risk. The interaction is entirely predictable. The response is not to avoid fluconazole. It may be needed, but to check and more frequently monitor the INR and temporarily reduce the warfarin dose.
What about the clarithromycin interactions? I know clarithromycin is a common culprit.
Clarithromycin is a broad CYP3A4 inhibitor. Simvastatin is metabolized by CYP3A4. This combination is contraindicated because simvastatin levels can rise dramatically, causing severe myopathy and rhabdomyolysis. The practical rule is, if you need to prescribe clarithromycin to a patient on simvastatin, either switch to azithromycin for the infection or temporarily stop the simvastatin during the antibiotic course. Atorvastatin is less affected by CYP3A4 inhibition. It's a more pragmatic choice for patients who regularly need antibiotics that inhibit CYP3A4.
Let's talk about serotonin syndrome. This is a combination problem that can be missed.
Serotonin syndrome occurs when serotonergic activity in the brain and periphery becomes excessive. Clinically, it presents as a triad: mental status changes, agitation, confusion, autonomic instability, sweating, fever, tachycardia, hypertension, and neuromuscular abnormalities, tremor, clonus, hyperreflexia. In severe cases, it can be life-threatening. The combination to know is SSRIs with tramadol. Tramadol has significant serotonergic activity. Adding a triptan on top, used for migraine, compounds the risk further. These are all commonly co-prescribed drugs that patients and clinicians may not think of as a dangerous trio.
Is this common in practice?
It's probably underdiagnosed. Mild serotonin toxicity, agitation, sweating, tremor can be attributed to the underlying condition or the illness being treated. The combination of an SSRI and tramadol is quite commonly co-prescribed, particularly in primary care where different clinical problems are managed in parallel. When a patient on sertraline comes in with tremor and agitation, and they've just been started on tramadol for back pain, serotonin syndrome should be in the differential.
QT prolongation is another class-based risk, isn't it?
Yes, and this is a pharmacodynamic interaction. Many drugs independently prolong the QTC interval, the repolarization phase of the cardiac cycle. When multiple QT prolonging drugs are combined, the risk rises additively. At a QTC above around 500 milliseconds, the risk of Torsades de Pointes, a potentially fatal arrhythmia, becomes clinically significant. Common QT prolongers include azithromycin, many antipsychotics including haloperidol and quetiapine, methadone, ondansetron, ciprofloxacin and domperidone. The problem arises when a patient is on an antipsychotic and then gets ondansetron for chemotherapy-related nausea or azithromycin for a chest infection.
How do clinicians check for QTC interactions quickly?
Credible Meds, hosted online, has a comprehensive QT risk classification for drugs. Known risk, conditional risk, possible risk. It's free and specific. Before adding any drug to a patient already on a QT prolonger, it's worth a quick check. Baseline ECG before starting high-risk combinations is good practice, and some trusts have guidance requiring this before initiating antipsychotics.
The triple whammy interaction. I've heard this mentioned before.
The triple whammy is the combination of an ACE inhibitor, or ARB, a diuretic, and an NSAID. Each alone can reduce renal perfusion or alter renal hemodynamics. Together, they substantially increase AKI risk. The mechanism is ACI-ARB reduces efferent arteriolar tone and blunts the kidney's compensatory response. The diuretic reduces circulating volume. The NSAID reduces prostaglandin-mediated afferent arteriolar dilation. The kidney is squeezed from multiple directions. This combination is contraindicated in chronic use and should be avoided even acutely in most situations.
Bleeding risk is another area where stacking is dangerous.
Absolutely. An anticoagulant, warfarin or a DOAC, combined with an SSRI, which independently impairs platelet function, combined with an NSAID, which inhibits cyclooxygenase and has GI mucosal effects, gives a dramatically elevated GI bleeding risk. Each element adds risk and together they multiply it. If a patient on anticoagulation and an SSRI is given an NSAID for musculoskeletal pain, the prescriber should be using paracetamol or a topical agent instead, and should be asking whether gastroprotection with a PPI is in place.
How should clinicians use the BNF interaction checker in practice?
The BNF appendix on interactions is structured by drug name and lists interaction severity, contraindicated, serious, monitor, or information only. The bnf.nice.org UK online version has a dedicated interaction checker tool. You type in two drugs and it gives you a clear summary. It's searchable, quick and authoritative. The practical approach in a consultation is, when adding a new medicine to a patient with a complex regimen, run a quick interaction check for the new drug against the two or three most pharmacologically active existing medicines. You don't need to check every possible pair. Focus on the highest risk agents.
What do you do when there's an important interaction, but the patient genuinely needs both drugs?
The interaction doesn't always mean you cannot use the combination. It means you need to manage it. For warfarin and clarithromycin, you monitor INR more closely. For an antipsychotic and ondansetron, you get an ECG and use the shortest possible duration. For an ACCI and an NSAID in a patient who genuinely needs both, you monitor renal function closely and make sure they're well hydrated. Managing interactions is part of prescribing. The goal is to anticipate them and mitigate the risk, not simply to avoid every flagged combination.
What's your clinical pearl for drug interactions?
Most serious drug interactions are predictable from drug class knowledge. If you know your CYP inhibitors, fluconazole, clarithromycin, amiodarone, and your CYP inducers, rifampicin, carbamazepine, phenytoin, you will anticipate the pharmacokinetic interactions. If you know your QT prolongers, your serotonergic drugs, and the triple whammy, you'll catch the pharmacodynamic ones. The interactions that cause harm are almost never obscure. They're usually a flagged combination that got prescribed anyway because the risk wasn't thought through at the moment of prescribing. The solution is a habit of asking, what's already on board, before adding a new drug?
Brilliant. To summarize, there are two types of drug interaction. Pharmacokinetic, involving CYP enzyme inhibition or induction, and pharmacodynamic, involving additive effects on the same system. Key interactions include warfarin with fluconazole or clarithromycin, simvastatin with clarithromycin, SSRIs with tramadol causing serotonin syndrome, QT prolonging drug combinations, the triple whammy of ACE-I, diuretic and NSAID, and anticoagulant plus SSRI plus NSAID bleeding risk stacking. Use the BNF interaction checker for any complex regimen. And the clinical pearl, most serious interactions are predictable. Know your drug class effects and anticipate before you prescribe. Thank you, Dr. Kerbane.
Thanks, Emma. Interactions are one of those areas where a small amount of knowledge prevents a large amount of harm.
That's all for this episode of Clinical IQ Clinical Essentials. Join us next time for more practical prescribing guidance.